It's good to be a child of the King.
Amen.
With Jesus, your Savior, you're a child of the King. Praise the Lord that we are part of the family of God. We're glad that you're here today. Those who are visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We pray that you're blessed. I know we've got a couple of sick folks, but you're here, and the Holy Spirit's here, so He's got a word for us, a blessing for us. And we pray that you'll receive the blessing that God wants to give you as we spend some time together. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. May we pray. Lord, it's so good to be in your house. So good to know that you're here with us. You're welcome here. We invite your presence. We enjoy your presence. We want to experience your presence. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We want to know what you have to say to your people today. Thank you for every person that's here, those that are regular members, those that are visitors. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for those that might be listening in the parking lot, those that might be listening later on the website, for each one that's a part of this service. And Lord, by the Holy Spirit, minister to each of us according to what our need is and according to your will for each of us. For those that are under the weather today, Lord, I pray that you'll lift them up. You'll bring healing to their bodies. You'll wrap them in your love. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. As it's another first of the month again, here we are in November. Next thing you know, we'll be singing Christmas carols, and it's going to be quicker than we really are ready for, I'm afraid. But anyway, here we are this morning. I want to recognize the birthdays for the month of November. And the month of November will be Dane Barbie, November the 9th, Stacy Talley, November the 11th, Allison Barbie, November the 18th, Barbara Whitley, November the 23rd, and Tamara Hahn, November the 24th. Those are the birthdays. Did I leave anyone out? All right, Miss Brenda, give me a key.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Not have any anniversaries for the month of November. All right, and as we do each and every Sunday, let's do our hymn sing together this morning, and that I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story. All right, if we would to all stand, please, and let's sing together. I will sing the wonderful story. Okay. for prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time to come to ask and worship. We thank you that you are here. It's not here, you know, that you have a need for the Lord. Prepare our hearts for the message and pray for us here also. Lord, take this gift as I see fit. In Jesus' name.
Let's all stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and
good morning again. We'll have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. Today that we will not be having the youth meeting at the normal time, and that we'll not have adult prayer time, and neither will we have adult discipleship training. So that has been canceled for today. So keep that in your mind. Also today we will have church council meeting at the end of this service. We'll meet us up here on the beside the. Well, that room next to the office there, and we'll meet right there for council. I think there's enough room there, isn't there? We need to go down to... No. Okay. All right. We'll do that. All right. Let's do that then. Okay. Then let's see. For events that's coming up, we're going to have the Baptist Children's Home annual offering. And, Jeff, I believe you have a video you're going to share with us at this time.
Yes, I do.
I don't think I can put into words what fostering has done to my spiritual journey. And there's so many times in this story where it just felt impossible. But the impossible is nothing to God.
We've got 5 children, 4 biological, 1 adopted, and then our adopted son, Ian, is 2.5. The Every Child Initiative came to our church. We had several sermons in January, February of that year talking about adoption and giving children homes, and he asked the question, what's your reason for not participating, and is your reason just an excuse? Looking at and talking to God, everything was an excuse. And so I said yes, and we said yes together and pursued the initiative. Went through the classes that Baptist offered as our agency. That was a 12-week course. In December of 2022, we got a call that our license had been approved, and we were now a licensed foster family.
And then just a few days later, we got a phone call from Baptist saying, hey, we've got a baby that is in the NICU, and he needs to be discharged soon. So I go into the hospital, and I see this baby, and my heart just melts.
And so little did we know that Ian would come into our life on Christmas Eve. He was born December 4th.
Ian's amazing.
He is a happy boy.
Yes.
He loves kids, he loves playing, he loves life. He's just full of energy and always smiles. He's been smiling since day one.
So Ian has some wonderful family that love him. He's got aunt, uncle, cousins, and he's got 2 biological older sisters.
They have been adopted by their biological great aunt.
The family's just clicked. We just, the love that they have for Ian, and then they, I guess, could see the love that we had for him as well. And they are supportive of us. They're supportive of Ian. They want the best for him. We want the best for him. And together, we're a family.
July or August of 23, his caseworker told our social worker and agency representative that the plan was going to change pretty soon from foster to adoption.
And so mm-hmm. we had a very big decision to make when Ian was just 7 months old.
Yep. We talked to our kids. We talked to our parents.
All of them were like, oh, we could just keep him forever? Yeah. And they were like, yes. They didn't have to think about it. They
immediate
just,
yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we hadn't said yes at the time, we said yes, we would have missed God's timing.
And Ian, and all the beauty that Ian is, yeah. and all that he means to our family, we would have missed it. You know, Baptist Children's Home was there. They were there.
Yeah.
And we said yes together.
And God just wants our yes.
He just wants our yes.
We tried to give it to him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. That's a beautiful story. $2 million is the goal. Each of you, if you pick up your bulletin, you have an envelope in there, so please give generously. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I can't think of a better charity or a better place to put your money than the Children's Home. It really touches lives, and we've seen it firsthand. We've visited there many times, and believe me, it does work. Okay, the Boston butt sale. Jeff, you have anything you want to add to that at this particular time?
It's getting close. You need to get your order in.
Yeah, we sure do. I'm one of them. I need to do that.
I think Roseanne's...
Is she at it again?
She's selling again. I know she's got at least 8 sold.
8 of them. Well, now, what's your goal this time, Rosanna? 10 or 12?
I last year's goal, but so far, I'm
flipping on the... Oh, okay. Just do the best you can, and we'll be happy with that.
Okay. Well, man, I hope a couple of the men kind of step up and try to hit that goal, too. Okay.
Now he's talking to us now.
All right.
Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay. Then let's go to our prayer requests. Had a couple requests in Sunday school. Gary, where's Gary? Oh, Gary, is he off? You can help me, Tonda. Larry and Jones.
Larry no, and John Jennifer. Daughter, Jennifer.
But I didn't get her last name for
Paulson.
Some.
It's, what? Paulson. She's on.
Paul, you got her already?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
anyway, all right. She had a mild heart attack.
She
and so,
did. We
okay.
Had no idea about this till last week. Yes.
Okay. I got that. Who's this?
Doug Burgess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grandpa.
Is he still hurting?
Yeah, he's got some infection and everything. So
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we need to...
That man has been ill for a while now.
Well, I think it stems from the same thing, but do pray for him.
Yeah, we will. We will. Doug Burgess said we need to put him on our... Doug, of course, was a past member of Barber's Grove and deacon, and he worked here a long, long time. Let's remember Miss Ruth, and she's out. She's missing today, and understandably, but let's keep her in our prayers. We talked about this a little bit, I think Jim and I did this morning. When the family goes back home, that's when it hurts the worst, so she'll going to be alone. And so let's try to get some phone calls in and go see her if you can, but let's try our very best to reach out to Miss Ruth, and let's do that. Okay, and then Tammy, my daughter-in-law, she has been moved now from the hospital, and I praise God for that. And she's now into where she can start working, and she's with a place where they'll work with her to get her back in shape again, back therapy. And it'll be therapy, therapy, therapy for a long, long time. But at least she's beginning to talk, she's beginning to eat, and she's obviously breathing on her own. And so she's in a therapy area now. So what a blessing, praise report that is. Okay, then we got Doug Burgess. Anyone else this morning?
Well,
Yeah, Donna Haycock. She's been on our prayer list a while.
Donna.
And, yes, and they started, they sent a robot in to do surgery on her tumor the other day, and her spleen busted, so they had to take her spleen. She's been in the hospital like 2 weeks. She finally got home Friday.
Yeah.
So let's just keep her in our prayers.
Donna Haycock, we'll do that. Anyone else? All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. And first thing we want to do, Lord, is to thank you. Thank you for the blessings you've given us. Thank you for grace. Thank you for giving us things we don't deserve. Thank you for salvation. And now, Lord, as we thank you, and I thank you for our church, for Barbers Grove Baptist Church. We pray a blessing upon it. We pray a blessing upon Pastor Ed as well, as he minister us in this place. The leadership, we ask continued blessing upon us as we go forward. Now, Lord, as we've had some mentioned today, we want to call them by name to you, Lord, and ask that you would touch their body. We pray for Jennifer Polston, Lord, as she's had a heart attack and a mild one, but, Lord, we know that you can touch her heart and make her whole again. We pray for Tammy, Lord, continue to pray for Tammy, but in doing so, Lord, we make a great big praise report. Thank you for what's already accomplished in her life. We pray for Miss Ruth today, Lord, as a time of loneliness will be setting in. Lord, we ask that you would wrap your loving arms around her and give her comfort and give her peace. Give her rest, Lord, as she, and then help us, Lord, to put a burden in our hearts to keep in touch with her. We pray, Lord, for Doug Burgess, Lord, as he continues to have problem with infection. We pray for him. And then Donna Haycock, Lord, we lift her up to you as well and ask for healing for her body. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we ask a special blessing upon the praise team as we'll be coming, Lord, and singing today, Lord. We ask your blessings there. And then, Lord, those that are with us today that may be a little under the weather, Lord, and may be sick, Lord, we pray, Lord, they decided to come to your house anyway, Lord, but we pray, Lord, and ask for blessings for them. And then these blessings now, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. I'll ask the praise team to come on up, and we're going to sing this morning. We're going to do a medley of songs for you this morning that I think you'll enjoy. I was so proud of this praise team yesterday. And I know they don't want me to say how great they did, but I think they call this all a praise to God. God is to give him all the glory, but I was very, very pleased and very happy. And I know Miss Ruth was as well. But this morning we're going to do a medley of songs, Holy Presence Medley. And the medley will feature In the Presence of Jesus, Gentle Shepherd, More of You, and Come Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful songs indeed. All right, Wes, if you would, please.
Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, hearing him calling his own, just feeling at home, feeling at home. Couldn't have told me I'd find what I
Children, you're dismissed. Always do a good job. You know, most music groups have a name, and yesterday I suggested we call it the Three Roses and the Thorn, but but I don't want to pick on Leonard like that. So, and earlier I meant to say, you know, it's good to see that a number of you did get your clock set right this morning and showed up at church, and I won't ask anybody to raise their hand that showed up an hour before anybody else. And you know, November is a month of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day. And Thanksgiving Day for some people is food, family, football. They don't know Thanksgiving's anything else. But for Christians, really, Thanksgiving ought to be more than just food, family, and football. And so probably for the Sundays of November, we're going to talk about being thankful. And look at some various scriptures. Now, what kind of person are you? How thankful are you? You can't help the genes you were born with. You know, some people are born a little more sunny than others, a little more introspective than others. You can't help that. That's just the way you were born. You can't help the kind of person and family that you grew up around. I didn't choose my family. I was just born into it, and so were you. And I had some good in-laws and some good outlaws and some good relatives and some weird ones. And you probably did too. But when we become an adult, we get to choose how thankful we're going to be. We get to choose. Now, I think there's a little bit of what I'm about to say in all of us, but I see three basic personality types when it comes to Thanksgiving. There's one group, they're not going to be thankful no matter what you do. You give them $1 million, they're mad because you don't give them $2 million. Sun shining, they're mad because it's not raining. It's raining, they're mad because the sun's not shining. It doesn't matter what, they're just going to be unthankful. And then there's another group, it just depends. Got money in the pocket, sun shining, they're thankful. It's raining and they owe more than they've got, they're not thankful. So it just depends. One day you see them and, oh man, this is great. And the next day you see them and it's not so great. And then there are folks that are generally just thankful no matter what. Doesn't mean that they always have good circumstances, but they're thankful. Now, I want us to look this morning at the person I consider the most thankful person in the New Testament. Now, we're going to leave Jesus out of the equation. But you think about all the way through the New Testament, who is the most thankful person? I think it's the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to show it to you, I hope, in a few minutes. Now you think, Paul, isn't he the guy that was beaten with rods, whipped, stoned and left for dead, snake bitten, shipwrecked at least 3 times, often in danger from being robbed or
and he was run out of town. He was imprisoned. He was lied about. And he's thankful. And yet, if you read through Paul's letters over and over and over again, Paul says, I'm thankful. So we're going to start in Romans and go, you know, verse or two or three or four from every one of, almost every one of Paul's New Testament letters. Now, I'm not going to make a lot of comment on some of them because you'd be here a lot longer than you want to be. First turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He's writing to Roman Christians. He's never been there, but he thanks God for them. Why? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful for the faith, the godly life of these Roman Christians. He had never been there, but these folks had a reputation. They had a reputation for being a faithful, God-filled church. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, about two miles down the Food Line. If I went out and stood in the parking lot at Food Line and walked up to people as they were getting out of their cars and said, I'm doing a survey on the churches in this area. What can you tell me about Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? How many of them would say, never heard of it? How many of them would say, yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't know where it is. How many of them would say, yeah, I've been by it a few times. You want to know how to get there? And how many of them would say, oh, there's a loving church, or there's a good church. It's a got some good people in it. How many of people would say about us? Paul said about this church, it was a faith-filled church. Are we a faith-filled church? Do we have a reputation around as a faith-filled people? There's a lady that's my age, teaches her Sunday school class and the adult senior ladies in her church. And when she, I've been knowing her about 60 years. And whenever she gets stumped over her Sunday school lesson, she'll call and say, Ed, explain verse so-and-so to me. Explain this passage to me. And we talk. Talking with her last night, and she's discouraged. She says, you know, they just sit there like knots on a log. Like they don't pay any attention, they don't care. And Brother Jim, I think we'll validate this. You preach and you see certain people and you know they're right there in it. They smile at the right time. They nod at the right time. They may say a quiet amen at the right time. There are others you can tell they're really in it, but they just, you know, they don't react. And there are others, they're sitting there planning what they're having for lunch. Which football game they're going to watch this afternoon? It's all in La La Land. Are we a faith-filled church? Are we a faith-filled church? He's thankful for that. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. He was thankful that these people had turned from sin to living godly lives. They had received the word of God, and it changed the way they lived. And it always blesses a parent's heart, a Sunday school teacher's heart, a deacon's heart, a pastor's heart, when you see people whose lives begin to change because of the word of God. When they see there is a difference, there is a difference in what's going on in the word of God. And so Paul was grateful for that. Chapter 7 verses of Romans, chapter 7 verse 24, 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul was thankful that God's power had changed him from a sinner to beginning to become a godly man. Paul realized he wasn't getting any better on his own. He realized that keeping all the Jewish laws, all the Jewish rules over the years had not changed him. But he realized that when Jesus moved in, his life became different. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus can change your heart? Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus can show you this is sin and empower you to overcome it? Aren't you glad that his presence makes all the difference in our life? And then in Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Great Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of Gentiles. Paul was thankful for godly friends who would stand with him in difficult times. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Nobody cares. But suddenly we find that we've got a godly friend, a brother, a sister. They come and it may be a phone call, it may be a card. It may be somebody just coming and putting their arm around you and saying, hey, I love you. And I know it's a difficult time, but I am with you. Priscilla and Aquila, he said, they risked their own necks to help Paul. And Paul says, I give thanks for them. All right, let's go on over to Corinthians. Chapter 1. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. Why? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul was glad and thankful for God's grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God for God's grace. It's God's grace that you heard the gospel. Whether you heard it in your home, whether you heard it from a friend, whether you went to church for Bible school just because you were bored, but it's God's grace that you heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel. It's God's grace that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, if you'll give your life to Jesus, he'll save you. It's God's grace that's provided you a home in heaven. Everything is God's grace. And Paul says, I am thankful for God's grace. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 30. For if by grace... If I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? And it's in the context of what you eat, what you're eating and drinking. And Paul says, I'm thankful that the grace of God delivered me from spiritual bondage. You know, depending on the churches that you grew up in, there's certain things you did and didn't do, and you absolutely were a sinner in the eyes of a lot of people if you did those things. I remember growing up, there's a little chorus that the choir used to sing, and sometimes maybe the congregation, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. And the rule was, you walked in the door of the church and you sat in your pew and you didn't say a word to anybody. Hey, I like it when you come in and fellowship with one another. And you walk around and you say, hey, brother, sister, I'm glad to see you. And we hug one another and we love on one another as the family of God. And, you know, for a little boy, walk in, sit down, shut up, that weren't any fun at all. I thank God that he's delivered me from some of those spiritual bondages that plagued my life when I was a little boy. And there are others, and your church may have been different, and your the things you were taught on from your family and your church may have been different, but Paul is grateful that he is free before the Lord. Not free to sin, but not in bondage. You know, the Judaizers kept trying to follow behind Paul and make him do this and that and the other and lead the people astray. And Paul says, no, we're free through the grace of God to live a godly life. All right, 1 Corinthians, I'm just not going to, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, I won't even read that to you, but Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. For Baptists, that's not a happy word, but I wouldn't be surprised there are not two or three people in this church that speak in tongues, and you just don't make a big deal out of it. But Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than anybody, because Paul had found a freedom in praying for others and in prophesying, not in a disruptive way, but in a godly way. And it doesn't bother me either, so whatever. But Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. You also helping together by prayers for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul was thankful for that people were praying for him. And Paul was thankful for the gift that had been given to him. The ministry gifts, the lives that were changed because of those gifts. Do people know you pray for them? Are you thankful for the people that pray for you? Are you really thankful for the people that pray for you? Are there times when you wonder, how did I make it through this difficult situation? And you didn't realize that maybe somebody was praying for you all the time. I don't even know how it came up with the lady I was talking with last night about the Sunday school lesson. And my sleep habits ever since I was up all hours of the night looking after Pamela, but you know, right before she passed away, are weird. And so most nights between 2 and 4 a.m., I'm awake. I don't let it fret me anymore. I just pray. I have a friend. She used to play the piano and everything at my first church. Her husband has had medical issues for 40 years. They live in Richmond. They know exactly the hospital where Tammy is, because I asked her. When I start praying, I pray for Sheila and David. And then I come on down to Raleigh and I pray for a guy that's been here, Patrick Fuller. And then I pray for a lady in Durham. I pray for one in Greensboro. I pray for the people at Rush Creek by name, many of them. I get to Troy. I get here. I get to Oklahoma, and then I get to Oregon. I figured the Lord's happy and the devil's mad. I wish I hadn't woke that boy up. Well, praise the Lord. You wake me up, I'm going to sing some praise choruses and I'm going to pray. You know, Paul was thankful for the people that were praying for him. And you don't know how many times I've prayed for you. Most of the time, not just, Lord, bless the people at Barber's Grove, but bless Leonard or bless Brenda or bless Jim or whoever. Prayer makes a difference. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 16. Now he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul says, I thank God for you as a church, and I pray for you regularly. Most of the former pastors at Barber's Grove have long since passed away. But when they left here and they thought back about you, did they thank God for you? It's great as a pastor to be able to thank God for people that I've known for 60 years. Thank God for them. Now, honestly, there's a few that I thank God I'm no longer having to deal with. They were thorns in my side. And not just my side, but every preacher that ever came through. I had a lady tell me in one church, she said, preacher, said every preacher that's ever been here, and she was a lot older than me, stood in my living room and cried over the way they were treated. Now, I don't know the whole history of that church, but evidently there's some thorns in that church. But Paul says, I thank God for you as a church. He was grateful for that church in Ephesus. He was grateful for their brothers and sisters. Going over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is where Paul seems to be a step above most of us. What did he say? Giving thanks always. And you know, in I think it's Philippians, Paul says, in everything give thanks. Doesn't say you give thanks for all the bad situations. But even in the bad times, we learn to be thankful. We learn to walk in thanksgiving because we have a Heavenly Father that's working it all out. We have a Heavenly Father that can turn bad into good. And it can turn bad in our lives into good in somebody else's life. You remember in one of the newsletters I wrote about the fact that, you know, Pam and I started dating when she was just 2 months past 15. And every so often her mom and dad would break, her mom especially would break us up. And so if you don't date somebody else, you can't date Ed anymore. And so we'd date other people for a while. And I dated this girl from she lived right, not right down the road from here, but she went to UNC Greensboro. She says, bring somebody for you, my roommate. And I took my brother Jim, and he and Barbara have been married now almost 60 years. And he looks at me every so often and said, bad for you when your mother-in-law broke you up, but boy, it sure was good for me. He's tickled pink. The blessing he got, because Pam and I had to go through a stretch of bad. Paul says, give thanks all the time. And he says the same thing in Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, he doesn't use the word thankful, but he might as well have used it. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. But I rejoiced, that's almost the same as thanksgiving, in the Lord greatly that now at your last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, Paul was thankful for the financial support that the Philippian church gave him. He knew that his ministry depended on the gifts of others. As a pastor, my support is from you, and I'm thankful. I know several, I'll say, use the word faith ministries. Tanzania, Mexico, Colombia, Ecuador. They depend on the gifts of people every week or every month. Thank God for those that support the ministry. First Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll wind it down in a minute. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Paul was thankful that these people had an open heart to hear the word of God and to respond. And I won't, for the sake of time, I won't go into all the other scriptures, but in Timothy, he's thankful for the spiritual gifts that were imparted to Timothy. In another scripture there, Paul says he's thankful that God called him to ministry. Paul. I mean, you know, Paul was just always amazed that a man that was killing Christians, hated Christians, and God called him to be a Christian, and not only a Christian, but an apostle. God's thankful for Timothy. God's thankful for the Paul's thankful for Timothy. Paul's thankful for Timothy's grandmother and mother and the faith that's passed down into their lineage. And Philemon, he's thankful for his friend Philemon. Do you thank God for your Christian friends, brothers and sisters that love you? Christian friends that you know you could count on. I don't do it as much now as I used to years ago, now that I have AAA or whatever it is. But used to, if I were going anywhere, in my mind, I would map out, okay, if I'm going here to, say, to Asheville, I know somebody in Salisbury that's a good Christian that'll help me. I know somebody in Hickory that's a good, somebody in Statesville first, and then in Hickory. And then there's somebody on up around Morganton. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, if I have a breakdown, if I have a problem, all down the route, I've got a Christian brother or sister that I can call on to come help. Thank God for our Christian brothers and sisters that care about us. Now you see, Paul had a lot going against him, but Paul lived a life of thanksgiving. May we be that same kind of Christian, to rejoice in all the blessings we have because God loves us. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you need to become a part of our fellowship, if you need to come to the altar and just be thankful for a little bit, we invite you to come as we sing
Room at the Cross. If you would please stand. Bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.